settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
I'm Sylvie Avery, and welcome to the Spirit's Work Show, the show that's designed to help you unravel the truth about the nature of your existence, and by that I mean your physical and non-physical existence. Through our gifts of mediumship, my husband Mick and I are able to bring you communication direct from the spirit world, from deeply loving but highly evolved people who care about our welfare and the well-being of our planet. The idea is that armed with knowledge, we can become self-empowered by creating our own reality based on truth and the awareness of the bigger picture of life.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. If you would like to know more about us, our books and our work, we suggest you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. I'm a deep trance medium, and on the show each week I channel an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who had an earth life 300 years ago. And because he is the spokesperson for a group of highly evolved individuals from all walks of life and specialist subjects, we are able to bring knowledge and wisdom that could never be gained in any other way. When I go into trance, my consciousness and my spirit are removed, and Gregory will borrow my body to speak with you, and I will not know of anything that has transpired during this time. But do have a great show, and I'll say goodbye for now.
Thanks, Mick.
You're welcome.
Okay. Sometime after Gregory's physical death in 1723, Gregory was asked if he would like to train to be the representative of an educational group who wanted to help the people on the earth discover a more harmonious way of life, to assist us on a road to recovery and raise the vibration of the planet. This group is called the White Cloud Group, and they consist of many high minds and experts from all avenues, including ordinary people who have valuable input to make. This is why, through our shows and our books, we hope to cover just about every subject conceivable. It's all about observations and facts, and this may also then help those who are to come after us and who want a physical life on Earth too. So, hello, Gregory.
Hello, dear friend.
How are you today?
I am very well, thank you very much. Never better.
Good, good. Well, today we're discussing grief, so where would you like to start?
Well, I suppose what we have to look at, my dear friend, is to begin with all of the different array of ways in which people try to cope with the loss of a loved one. Naturally, this will vary depending upon the relationship that you have had, perhaps, with the loved one who has passed. It may be a beloved parent, grandparent, and naturally, of course, because of the very subject of your relationship with them, it means they have possibly been someone in your life very dear to you. Someone who has meant so much that you have walked together in your respected lives. You have done this in such a way as you have begun to know all of the nuances of that person. You have perhaps had a very close relationship with them, which of course brings out care and control from each of you. This is a shared loving relationship, and therefore your emotional point will be most high at their passing. Grief has many subtle changes that happen at the point of passing, and also in the subsequent days or even hours, how you actually begin to cope with the loss of that loved one. For some may be quite severe. It is not to say that those who are able to overcome their grief in quite a quick way are insincere, or that they did not love them. The problem, I suppose, many human beings face is, how much do I grieve? How much do I really grieve before I can let go? Can I ever let go of the relationship that I had with them? Very often you will find, or the person will find, that they are poring over the what-ifs, perhaps, which may be linked to the reason for why your loved one passed to our side of life in the beginning. It may be, of course, through a long illness, defined and medically understood. Perhaps you knew that there was a limited time period where you would actually have to say your goodbyes, gathered around or perhaps in your own way to them. Hopefully they will be conscious for you to do this. It will make your emotional job that bit harder, but at least you will have a responsive being in front of you to communicate with. In this way, you may alleviate much of the pain and suffering that is caused when a person passes to our side of life, particularly if they are well loved, as I say. Now, it may well be, of course, that the passing is actually something which happens quite quickly, still within your area of understanding. Still, it may be that you actually saw them, but that you had to say your goodbye rather quickly, that it was almost an instantaneous thing, you understand. Perhaps your loved one was in a road traffic accident or something like that, or perhaps they were involved in some other kind of accident, which meant their injuries were fatal in that way. Naturally, you will feel great pain within you at this point. Also, a great overwhelming feeling of love undivided toward them. You want them to do well, and yet you can see that physically they have actually come to the end of their tether. Now, it is to say that during this time, it may be that you actually become quite exasperated by the situation as it unfolds before you. It is something you cannot stop. It is though it is appearing in slow motion, like you are taking part in an unreality, another party that you do not wish to involve yourself in, yet you are carried along with it. You may observe during the individual's passing many unique possibilities. It may be, as you are with them, as they leave their physical body, you observe various situations. They may be having difficulty breathing, of course. It isn't to say that you must fixate upon what actually happened physically to them, and I will deal with that in a moment. It may be their breathing just becomes shallower and they drift peacefully into sleep and then just cease. These can be beautiful moments. It may be they have an air of peace about them and resignation. Very often, these can be times of fear for the one who is passing, particularly if they don't know where they are going. If they are aware of their spirit ascent and the possibilities that lay ahead for them in their creation and their continuing existence in the ether world, then they will have no fear, and they will simply allow themselves to slip away. It may be, of course, on the other hand, that the person is fighting for their life, and that they fight right until the very last moment. Perhaps they are in severe pain, and this, again, is something you are perhaps going to have difficulty removing from your mind, especially as they are well-loved, like a mother or father, sister or brother, husband, wife, child. It is awful for any human being to have to go through the agony of seeing someone else passing when they are suffering, when there is nothing that you can do to alleviate that pain they are in. As I say, this is a temporary thing, and you must remember this. The point of passing is the same for everyone, even though physically the reason for their passing may be different. Different situations, systems break down or close. Different chemical reactions will operate depending upon how that person is meeting their passing state. What part of the physiological system is it that breaks down will have a great effect upon what you see. So remember that. It is the physical effect of what you see. It is not necessarily what they themselves experience. Many of the situations you may see will be purely motor logical. It means that there are automatic functions which will occur when a dis-ease, shall we say, hits a particular point or closes a stage of the physical cycle. Therefore, you will see an event which happens. Now, what I have to say to you is what will happen to the spirit at the point of passing is that they will merely recollect the event. It will be a part of their memory, of course, and they may use it from time to time to communicate with you in some way. They will use this physical memory they have had when they pass to the spirit world in order to identify with you how it was that they passed, so you know that the form of mechanism of communication you have received, perhaps through someone else or, if you are lucky enough, through them themselves, then it means that you will actually identify and be able to succinctly agree and understand that it is indeed your loved one who is communicating with you. It is only really for the purpose of recollection. It doesn't mean to say that they are still going through that pain or they are still experiencing the agonies which they felt. For example, if you are talking to a medium who is doing this, they will be repeating certain things. Instances, perhaps they have pains in the throat, in the chest, in the lungs, difficulty breathing, perhaps they are shaking or something like that, depending upon what dis-ease it was that they passed with. All of these things will have a bearing upon how your recollection of it in your inner light of mind, your consciousness, how that actually brings about the change in your grief pattern, how you become motivated of the emotion which drives within you as to how that passing of that loved one has affected you. It may be, through all of that you agree their passing was something that needed to come, perhaps because they were in great pain or something like that, or a prolonged illness. Then you will understand that you just had to let them go. It will obviously still be difficult. You will still have remorseful times in your grief. Grief can be shown in many different ways. Maybe extensive periods of crying or sleep. It may be just to do with the things that you do in your day and how each thing gives recollection pointers of the life that you long for, you know you can no longer have within your field of existence. This is a part of the coping strategy that human beings have in order to overcome stages of grief. Now, for some, it may be they were unable to be present at the loved one's passing. Do you want to ask something or say something, my friend?
Okay. Is there a certain instinct, then, that within us that helps us cope? Basically, when you think of, say, losing somebody so close, say a parent initially, or yes, a child, whatever, it just seems so, you can't even fathom that you could ever get over that. When it happens, somehow you do. You get to a stage and you do. You just cope with it. Yes. What happens within us?
What happens within you that brings about the numbness, perhaps?
Yes.
It is because of the fact that you are in a state of shock. You obviously knew perhaps this situation was going to come about, but still you tried to roll it back from your mind, tried to make it so that your mind could not accept it, because of course you didn't really want it to happen. You didn't really want this situation to change and alter in your life because of the love that passed between you. You of course did not want them to suffer either. Part of the situation which occurs is it is a form of natural emergence which happens during the grieving process. It is as though you become immersed in this state where you are just coping with living and breathing. Perhaps you cannot even eat properly or something like that. Perhaps your remorse becomes so defined that you feel a great emptiness, a great void has been carved out within you. And I suppose this is a part of the process which occurs when you realize you yourself are only transient. You are only there for a short time, and then you leave again. And it is a part of the parity that you feel with the loved one who passed. You feel empty, naturally, because of the emptiness of their presence no longer being in your life. After all, you have loved them so devotedly. Why should you not be able to grieve at their passing? Yet the hole that is left is difficult to fill. Many find great difficulty in fulfilling anything shortly afterward. 'Tis as though they are walking in a daze, as though they have been ambushed by some sudden impact upon life. that has brought you and them to this meeting point or this disclosure of that you must say goodbye.
And some people don't want to go through that. Some people don't want to get to the stage where they, let me say, are willing to let them go because they feel that they should grieve because out of respect, and that's how they show their love.
Yes, of course. This is a bit of a problem, really, my friend. Particularly to do with, as you say, in a loving relationship where they feel that the more that they grieve, then that is respecting them more, as
yes.
you say.
Yes.
It is a strange situation people have got themselves into, because it is as though, in order to grieve respectfully, that in fact, for example, if it was a husband losing a wife or wife losing a husband, should they grieve for a certain amount of time in order for them to be fully respectful of the life and the love they have had? Or should they go out and meet someone else and in that way carry on as though nothing had happened? Perhaps repair their grief in that way by some other attraction or attention, attention aversion we would call it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that can work for some people. Although others will find it difficult to comprehend how they could possibly move on so quickly from such a time when they were, so say, so loved.
Yes, and I'm sure that some just have a way of blanking it out because it is too painful.
Yes, quite so. Typically, of course, some people cannot even speak about it, cannot utter one word of it. And that is their way of coping with the grief they feel. Perhaps it is that they feel they have to limit the amount they show toward others because that would be a sign of weakness, a sign that they have caved in, they are not as stoic as they should be. I have to say that tends to be somewhat of a game of one person feeling their principles are so high held that they cannot show their grief or cannot simply be grieving, living through the pain and discomfort of feeling left alone after a loved one has passed. Now, we have to turn to other areas, perhaps something not so palatable as if any of this is. Still, it must be talked about because how else are you going to be able to face the reality once it hits to your door, once it comes upon your life in some way, as undoubtedly it will. That is a part of the problem we feel human beings at present have very poor coping strategies with how a loved one passes. Sometimes the situation comes about that a loved one who passes does so in extraneous circumstances. It may be that the loved one, perhaps a child, daughter or son, has gone missing, and after a certain period of time, nothing has transpired to relieve them of their grief. It is as though they are left a book that is not closed. What can they do with their grief then? If they know for certain they have passed, or could it be they are just missing, that they are beyond and beside themselves in trying to understand, trying to pull together how to cope with that facet of life. They do not have anyone they can say goodbye to. They cannot see them, sense them, or smell them, because they are trying, very often, they are trying too hard. This is a simple test, really, that if you are such a parent who is faced with this problem, or perhaps you are aware your child has passed but have yet to locate them, how can you possibly face each day, each hour, each moment of your life? Partly it is because you cannot close anything. There is no closure, therefore you cannot move on. You are forced into this state of limbo, in this state of being unable to progress past the point at which you are holding your breath. It may feel that you are in desolation from this. It may be words cannot describe how you may feel, not just the emptiness within yourself, but also the despair of being unable to communicate or understand the reasoning behind why your loved one has left you at that particular time, or maybe in a particular way that you are aware of, or that those around you are aware of, that has taken place to them. Typically, it may be to do with, for example, someone who has been lost on a mountainside, if they cannot be recovered, if their physical remains cannot be returned to the loved ones for some kind of real burial or way of saying goodbye. How then can a human being cope within their normal way of breathing and working and living in the way of them seeing and understanding life's picture when such a disastrous note has been placed before them? It is easy to understand why people get lost in their grief through such situations. It is also quite easy to understand the difficulties of coping with this form of loss, because you have nothing physical to hold, to take, nothing physical to do or to see. You cannot go through the ritualistic practice of burial even, or incineration, whatever it is. You cannot actually say goodbye in a practical way, or in a spiritual way. But can you? Yes, of course you can. You may be able to pray. Prayer is a very good thing. It is a way of you opening the door, not just to your own inner mind or your higher consciousness, but to bring a message from the heart, from the emotional state of self, and deliver it into the ether world by way of saying it or thinking it. Do not forget that thoughts are living things. And in that way, all of those impressions of all of the images you ever wanted to say, all of the words you ever wanted to utter, but never could find the time or the inclination, missed the point, perhaps in their lives, in the loving relationship that you had, perhaps there were many important things you needed to say. This will be a part of the grief that you have. It will perhaps be an indication of how you may communicate with them. And you can. This is the point we are trying to make. You may communicate with your loved ones, even when they have passed, when they are no longer with you. All you need to do is send a thought toward them. You are not begging them to be present. You are sending your love toward them in sympathy. Yes, perhaps there is some longing there too. It may be you are misunderstanding as to why they passed, or what significant situations were around them at that time. It may be that you just lack understanding as to the whole reasoning behind it. Perhaps they passed due to a road traffic accident, or due to some event or situation brought upon them by someone else. May have been to do with an aeroplane accident or something like that, something quite catastrophic. On the other hand, it may simply be that it was a child who suffered from some disease who passed outside of your understanding, that perhaps they just were not able to get to their medication in time or something like that, something that has been taken away from your grasp, from your control. And remember that it is from your control. It is an important pointer in your aid to recovery afterward. What we are trying to say here is that by you sending a prayer to them, you are drawing them to you. I do not wish you to plead with them to be in your presence, because it may be they have to recover from specific issues themselves to do with their passing. Do not forget, they may not be that pleased or happy about passing themselves, and may have a great deal to say about it or to feel emotionally toward you themselves. So this is most definitely a two-way situation. You may send prayers for healing for them. You may bring out forms of identity that will help them to recover themselves. Think not just of yourself when you are doing this. I'm not saying that you cannot be selfish, or that you should not, through your despair, ask and plead why. Of course it is natural. It is heartfelt, my friends. Would not wish you to feel that we are being cold-hearted over this. Indeed not. We are most sympathetic and understanding with the way people and their lives are affected by traumatic situations and events happening to their loved ones every day.
Yes, I mean, Nobody can tell anybody in how to grieve, and it's not really until it happens that you realise, well, this is the way that you are going to grieve. But some people just won't let go and they won't cry at all.
Yes, almost like a refusal to accept that they are even a part of it, or that they are even entertaining it.
Well, yes, but I'm thinking along the lines more of people that desperately, desperately should do. It's like they're going to explode. They need to.
Yes.
But they won't. They're frightened to cry.
Of course, this is partly, I suppose, what I am saying, my friend, that many people are like that. They feel as though if they let go, then they will let go of the control as well that they have on their lives. Do not forget that many may see that somebody passing as being something most fearful for themselves. This is then usually to do with someone who has great fears within a self.
Mm, yeah.
Fears of passing themselves, and therefore not wishing to confront it, would rather step away from it at any opportunity, even if they themselves have to go to other funerals of other people, grieve for others or watch others grieve. It may mean, of course, that they actually feel this other individual's grieving is showing themselves up in front of them. That they shouldn't get into that kind of state, you see.
Yes, being dramatic.
Yes, quite so.
Yes, and it can be different races, even on our planet. The different areas of the world can tend to grieve in different ways.
Absolutely, of course. Yes, quite so. Many will, for example, I do believe there are some people in China, or is it Vietnam, who are taken out into a boat, and whilst their relatives, those who have passed, are dropped over the side, there is someone there pulling out their fingernails.
Really?
Yes, in order to try to help them to cope with their grief. There will be others who beat themselves with sticks in order to face their grief.
Yes, I mean, it's the pain. You feel anger, you feel sadness, you feel helplessness, you go through all these myriad of emotions.
Yes, of course, but many take to wailing,
yes,
as a form of ritualistic practice of how to cope with a certain passing of a loved one. Perhaps it is actually to do with many different tribes that form of grief is used to overcome the present situation, and to actually show and reveal how much that person was really loved.
There is certainly no other feeling like it.
Yes.
And I'm particularly thinking the sinking concrete block in your solar plexus, that heavy, heavy feeling. Why does it get people in that particular place?
It is because that is the place of your primary energy center, where you send out loving awareness, where you send out emotional ties towards people whom you have a shared relationship with. It is also, of course, the way in which you send out healing towards someone else, and very often it will be the one particularly sensitive center which will be affected by other people giving negativity toward you. Therefore, I'm saying this is one of the most sensitive areas of your physical body, because it acts as a diaphragmatic way of delivering and receiving energy backwards and forwards within your physical frame, which is why it becomes so solid and congested when a loved one passes, and why you feel it is immovable in your existence.
Yes. That feeling alerts you to the situation when you open your eyes, you know, before you've realised about what's been going on. It's that feeling, and you think, oh yes, I remember now, I've lost whoever. And,
yes,
and
quite
this,
so.
This awful thing is happening.
Yes. Yes, and this, of course, is very much to do with situations of memory that you will encounter afterward, after the situation has actually passed, when the loved one has passed themselves.
Yes.
And that you are then in some ways almost forced to remember the situation time and time again. You remember what has actually happened yesterday or the day before or the week before or the month before. You are counting off the days after the time of disaster that came upon you.
Do you think it's a productive practice to view your loved one once they have passed?
It can be, my dear friend. It can be most helpful to look at the physical body, perhaps before the actual laying to rest of the physical remains.
Mm-hmm.
Not, of course, that any of that has anything to do with the spirit of the loved one, but it is something which helps the relatives, people who have lost them. It is a way for them to cope and say a formal goodbye.
And I suppose on the reverse side of that, there are others that would want to remember them as they were.
Yes, of course, there is that too, particularly for those who have been caught in some kind of accident or something like that.
Mm.
Naturally, they would wish to remember them by the glossy photograph that they may have of them, or the imprint which is lodged in their minds.
Yes.
It may be, of course, that for some it is most beneficial to actually see the loved one at first hand, to touch them, to even kiss them. It is not kissing the person that you loved, of course, because they are no longer there. Sometimes actually being able to touch them, and physically with your fingers, means you are actually able to understand with the plasticity the way in which the tactile surface has changed and altered, helps you to understand life has ceased, that has moved on from that physical vehicle. That is why I feel many people find this a great help to be able to see their loved one.
Mm.
And say a final goodbye in that way, to have a showing, if you like.
When someone has been ill for a long time and we have to spend time with them in their last days, the grief of their passing may be a little easier to bear because we may have had and used the time to express our love.
Yes, of course.
But when someone dies suddenly, the grief may become more overwhelming, perhaps because we have squandered that chance for that expression while they were with us.
Yes, and isn't that always the case, that you feel perhaps, oh, if only I had been able to say this? And very often you may well be given a chance at the time, that you may well be presented with a chance by the spirit world when you should actually say something, something perhaps loving or thoughtful toward them, something just simply by saying, I remember you, thank you so much for being in my life, I hope you are well.
Mm.
Or something like that, you see.
Mm.
And then it is you are removing that feeling of regret that you will have at the point of their passing. It is a situation, actually, that the spirit world so often tries to present to you as a human being, so you will actually have an opportunity to say a goodbye or a farewell, not necessarily because you know they are going to pass, particularly if they are well at the time. They're going to wonder why you are saying it.
Yeah, that wouldn't go down very well.
No, quite so. But you see, I am saying that perhaps it is to do with a thought that you had to do with them, perhaps to do with their relationship, or thank you very much for being the friend that you have been, or the neighbor that you have been. Thank you for being in my life. I'm sorry I have never actually said it, but you mean a lot to me, or whatever that is, you see.
Could we make our grieving process easier then by fully expressing to all our loved ones while they are still among us?
Well, yes, of course. I do feel that so many people deny the opportunity to actually express themselves with their loved ones on a daily basis.
Mm.
And perhaps that there are too many things which are left unsaid, deeds that are left undone, emotions that are, as it were, placed on a back burner purely and simply because you need to concentrate on something else. Something else is taking your time, taking up your precious moments. It is why we are saying that if you have chance meetings like this to be able to express yourself, then do it. This is why you have been given the chance. Use it. Yes.
I think one of the most common things that you hear is that it's the physical touch that people miss.
Yes, of course, and the actual physical state of them being
there,
of hearing their voice, of having them walk in their lives. This is a great problem, of course, but one that will only gradually subside. It isn't that we can say that there is a magic quick fix to this situation. It is how your grieving process actually takes a hold of your life and that you need certain avenues of it to run its course. We have to say also, of course, about those who have committed suicide in some way, taken their own lives. This is particularly difficult. Or those loved ones who really do not understand how they could have done such a thing. Perhaps it is that they have thrown themselves off a bridge, or worse, used a drug to take their own life. Narcotics are actually quite easy to obtain, as I understand, on your side of life, and so this is very often quite a reasonable way out for many folk who are so troubled and distressed. Perhaps particularly one of the most fundamental ways in which people find difficult to cope with such situations is the if-onlys. If only I had done this, could I have done more? Well, obviously they could have done more, because otherwise they would still be there.
Yes.
It is a situation of responsibility, and trying to understand or apportion a certain amount of blame upon the self or upon the loved one who has passed. That they should not have done it. How thoughtless. Well, they were obviously in such great pain mentally, they had to feel it was the only way they had to exit the actual life that they had. This, of course, is something which brings great trauma events, great tragedy to many, because it is so difficult to try to understand the actual mechanisms of what would have led up to a particular person taking their own life in such a way. It may be that with people who have taken some form of medication, it is not necessarily a quick answer. It may be something that actually takes many hours to go through, by which time, of course, they may have already been found, and gradually, as the decay sets in by what they have taken or whatever, that this is a kind of unstoppable force. They may even have regrets about having done it if their loved ones find them before they actually pass. How do you think, then, that this loved one manages to cope themselves once they are on our side of life? They have to have a great deal of healing, not because they need healing per se, because of course they no longer have a physical body, they don't really need healing at all. But their spirit, their consciousness, may well need healing. Their thoughts may need healing. The construction of how they are able to overcome certain situations that have helped them come to this grief-stricken way out for them is very often something which actually takes a great deal of communication from our side of life. Many of those around that individual will have to be most careful in what they say and how they try to help this individual resolve matters, because, of course, they will still have to resolve issues, whatever it is that was left undone, unsaid.
Presumably they'll have more issues, though, as well, because of the loved ones that they've left behind.
Well, of course.
That are grieving for them,
yes, of course. Yes, and that is what I am saying. It never really fixes anything. It never solves any problem. It actually enhances and creates far more than it solves.
Mm.
Unfortunately, many who take their own lives in that way do not see that. They cannot identify with it because they cannot cope with the answers they receive.
Mm.
And that is a part of it. They cannot share the load of responsibility that they already have. Now, perhaps it may be the person themselves is suffering from some debilitating illness that they know the eventual outcome. Can you seriously blame them for taking their own life or hastening the situation? Perhaps doing it in their own way so that they have their own feeling of reinstatement that they can at least do something, achieve something as an end result in their life. Doesn't mean to say that they loved you or their loved ones, their parents, sisters, brothers, children even, any less. There is always this situation that will arise when parents, perhaps, or the loved ones closest to them will think, well, why did you do that? Couldn't you see that I loved you? The reason that they have done it, my child, is because they couldn't see that, and that is a part of the remorse they have to face themselves. So it may be that you dwell in despair from this act, but so do they, and that is the point we are trying to make here. It is not actually a selfish act, it is something which required a great deal of courage, not cowardice, to bring about. and also, of course, obvious despair there present at the time. How else could you possibly feel you could end your own life on such a beautiful world if you did not meet with a road of despair upon it?
Well, I guess in that situation, if they do know that they're going to have a long traumatic illness, that they want to save their loved ones from having to go through that as well.
Yes, of course, but that is not something which is immediately understood.
No.
Or felt by those loved ones who are left behind.
Oh, absolutely.
Perhaps
not, yeah.
Part of their annoyance, if you like, about the situation will be that they never actually had the chance to say goodbye to them.
Mm.
And that was a situation denied them.
Mm.
And in that way, I suppose, you could say many see this as a very selfish act because they denied them the chance or the right, as they saw it, to say goodbye. So what would you do then? Would you gather round, meet with them one night in order to say their goodbye so that they can quietly slip away the next day and go and slit their wrists or throats or whatever it is, whichever mechanism they wish to use to pass to our side of life?
You were saying earlier on about at the point of death, you almost made it sound like it was a beautiful moment for the person that was passing.
Yes, it is.
Could you explain that a little more?
I will try to. I am well aware that many people feel when a person passes, they will expect to see the tunnel of light, their loved ones coming forward to greet them, and perhaps that may be something which happens. Chemically, it is something which is actually brought on by a situation in the physical brain that makes that happen, makes that illumination appear. Some people, I understand, feel it when they are undergoing certain kinds of training. They are actually taken through that moment, as it were, of passing. And they are taken through it and shown how to control it.
Hmm.
Now, I understand as well that some people meet with it when they have a near-death experience. And they too have the same instance of when they are shown this bright white light and that they move upon it, move within it, and are drawn upward or outward from their physical body. And of course, this is exactly the same as you would go through if you were astral traveling or something like that. You may not have the same bright white light, of course, but you will have the sensation of moving from your physical body, and that is exactly what happens when you pass. You will have the sensation of moving away from your physical body. You will see it, observe it. You may identify certain people around you at that time as well, both in the spirit world and observing them in the physical world, as you will have, quite possibly, both faculties open to you. Naturally, this will all depend upon your spiritual awareness or the awareness of your journey that you make. At this time, it may be that you are a being of great fear, in which case it doesn't mean to say that you will not experience this or that you will experience something else necessarily. Each being is actually what happens in the spirit world is we try to make it as pleasant and experienced as possible for the one who is about to pass. As I say, the physical sensations you feel are only momentary. They are not something long-lasting, because as you leave your physical remains, the sensations that you feel in the physical state are gradually severed as your etheric bead begins to break apart. This isn't a painful thing, the etheric bead ceasing to exist between your physical state and your spirit is not a physically harmful thing. It is something which brings a very light sensation to you as a being, and in fact, you will experience the quickening almost instantaneously. You will experience the power of thought, of being able to express in illumination. This is even in spite of how you pass or why you pass. It may be, of course, that you have passed through some mind-numbing dis-ease, and it does not mean to say, of course, that at the point of your passing, you will actually necessarily experience anything straight away. It may be something that comes upon you gradually, although, of course, you will not necessarily have a direct concept of time or evolution of one and one, quite simply because the evolution of time does not have the same resonance in the spirit world as it does in physical reality. That is because you plot everything in your life to do with your breathing, to do with your heartbeat, your regulation of what you think and expect to react to in your physical life, which is why you experience time in the first place.
But you experience love when you pass, do you?
Of course, unless you are someone who has not been loved.
Mm.
It may be that your passing is through some violent act. Can you then say that you will experience love in that moment? Most certainly, it will be difficult to try to bring forward the triangle of emotion you will feel in that field of events. It may be that you are more preoccupied with what it is that is actually physically happening to you, and that is something you try to grasp onto as you leave your physical body, as you leave your physical remains behind.
Do most people know, especially if it's a long-term illness, do they know the moment before it happens?
Yes, usually. They are actually becoming more and more prepared for it. They are making further and further excursions to the spirit world, particularly when it is some kind of mind-altering disease, you understand?
Yes.
That will be the case in that event. It may be, of course, alternately, it is something whereby the mind or the mental equipment is actually grossly impaired, and therefore you are not able to cope with any sort of thinking or forward mind strategy, in which case what will happen is you will have experiences of trips into the ether world, and that these will actually be quite illuminatory experiences outside of your normal physical realm of existence or understanding. The way in which you are able to communicate will be quite different. Therefore, it may become that you have these illumination fields that are quite out of character with the normal run of the disease that you are suffering from. Therefore, you may have quite lucid moments. You may even sit up suddenly from a lying down position and demand a pen and paper and write whole reams and reams of material, of communication. You may actually utter words or even have syllables or sentence structures in a language you do not understand, simply because of the spirit, the ether world contact you have had during periods of your unconscious memory, or during periods of sleep, or at times when you are not conscious to physical world reality.
You very often hear of people saying that their dying relative or whatever, loved one, started talking to a loved one in the spirit world who'd
yes.
obviously died previously.
Yes, quite so.
Just before they let go.
Yes, quite so.
So they are able to communicate with them, they talk to them like they're in the room.
Well, because they are.
Because they are.
Yes,
yeah.
Quite so.
Okay.
And they are actually very close. It really means then at that time, the loved one who is about to pass is actually half in and half out, you see.
Yes.
And really, it is just a simple act of them breathing out and allowing the cord to break.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, physically, it is usually that a person passes on the in-breath and not the out-breath.
That's interesting. And what way do they go out of the
and
body?
They will leave their physical body usually backwards. It is usually between the third vertebrae of the neck, even sometimes down as far as the fifth vertebrae of the thorax. It may be that if they are lying down, the actual connection is severed through this way, even though they may then rise up from their physical body forwards, in a forwards motion,
right.
You see?
Yes, like you say, sometimes people see them.
Yes, quite
yeah,
so.
Even photographs.
Yes, quite so. But what I'm saying is that what tends to happen is that they actually depart through the region that I have just described.
Mm-hmm.
That is the doorway.
Right.
And then, once they are through that doorway, they may then pass through the physical remains.
Right.
In a forward motion, yes, you see. Yes. Particularly as most, if they are with relatives who are saying their goodbyes or whatever, they are lying down on their backs.
Yes.
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 Propped up on pillows or whatever it is.
Hmm. Wow. Well, that's absolutely fascinating.
I do hope that this has been helpful to those listening.
I'm sure it has.
And we extend our love and our prayers as ever, always, to all of those who may be enduring the grieving process of a loved one, whether you have been able to say your goodbyes face to face, or at least to their physical remains, or whether you are still grieving through the anxiety of not really knowing or not actually being able to say a physical goodbye. Note, we always pray, we send our prayers toward you, toward all of those who are suffering from the fault of misjudgment, of anxiety and worry, through their fears and feelings of lack of grace that they have about the situation that has come upon them. Know that you are all loved beyond your feeling and understanding of what that word may mean to you. In the spirit world, love is supreme. You are all beautiful at all moments of your life and of your passing when the sun goes down in your life. Remember, thoughts are living things. You may remember with love and affection those moments of your walk together. And in love we leave you, friends.
Thank you, Gregory.
God bless.
God bless. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and thank you so much for listening. I'd just like to mention our website again. It's www.spirit-teaching.com. You can find our books on it and all sorts of information about us and our other shows. So until next time, be peaceful, be positive and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.